I'm Veronica Dudo. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, questions answered. President Trump addresses Republican lawmakers about Venezuela. What we're learning today. Fallout in Caracas, why shots rang out in Venezuela's capital city. Session begins as lawmakers return to the Hill. We look at the major issues they'll be tackling and what it means for you. Plus, two celebrations in one. Why the Epiphany celebration in Rome has extra importance today. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the feast of André Bessette. Our top story tonight. President Donald Trump calls the capture of Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro an amazing military feat, adding it was so complex while providing more insight into how the attack went down. He also takes aim at critics of the U.S. military operation. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Veronica, as they head into the critical midterm season, President Donald Trump addressed GOP lawmakers today with a pep talk of sorts, touching on many subjects, including Venezuela, which drew a round of applause.
President Donald Trump discusses the attack on Venezuela, saying the U.S. had a lot of boots on the ground and calling it so brilliant.
And think of it, nobody was killed, and on the other side, a lot of people were killed. Unfortunately, I say that, soldiers. Cubans, mostly Cubans, but many, many killed. And they knew we were coming.
He said the U.S. caught them by surprise.
The electricity for almost the entire country was, boom, turned off. That's when they knew there was a problem. There was no electricity. Caracas said, there's no electricity. It's not a... The only people with lights were the people that had candles.
President Trump described the mission to capture Maduro as brilliant tactically and an incredible thing, and slammed those who opposed it.
You know, at some point they should say, you know, you did a great job. Thank you. Congratulations. Wouldn't it be good? I would say that if they did a good job. Their philosophies are so different. But if they did a good job, I'd be happy for the country. They've been after this guy for years and years and years.
The speech today comes amid mounting concerns that the administration is embarking on a new era of U.S. expansionism without consultation with lawmakers or a clear vision for running the South American country. Stephen Miller, the White House Deputy Chief of Staff, said in an interview that the United States is in charge and is running Venezuela during this transition period.
But we live in a world, in the real world, Jake, that is governed by strength, that is governed by force, that is governed by power. These are the iron laws of the world that have existed since the beginning of time.
President Trump also said today that Maduro is a violent guy who's killed millions of people. And he added there's a torture chamber in the middle of Caracas that's now being closed up. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
In Caracas, the capital of Venezuela, shots ring out in the streets. This happened last night near the presidential palace. Security forces fired at unidentified drones overhead. The U.S. says it's aware of the gunfire but was not involved. It's been 3 days since the strikes, and Venezuelans continue to survey the damage and begin the recovery process. Reporter Andres Enriquez from our Spanish-speaking news agency spoke to one family in Caracas who say they experienced a miracle.
How does a large-scale bombing sound? What does it feel like to be in the middle of the fire? Probably no one from Caracas had ever asked themselves this question, but today everyone is capable of answering after 150 diverse types of American aircraft broke into the capital's sky in the early morning of Saturday, January 3rd.
Not all the bombs that fell on Caracas in the early morning of January 3rd impacted on their intended targets. These are the testimonies of a community of neighbors whose homes were severely affected by an American projectile. Today, they don't hesitate to assert that having preserved their lives is product of a miracle.
Gracia Monaco lives with her daughter, Ana Maria. Amidst the disorientation and uncertainty, She directed words of comfort to her daughter, who was very affected by what had happened. Gracia's faith was anchored to a small image of the Blessed Virgin, which she had recently placed on her nightstand, just hours before the bombings.
Ana Maria, ¿tú no crees en Dios?
Ana Maria, don't you believe in God? She falls silent, and I tell her, look, I'm going to tell you something. This Virgin that is here was not here 2 days ago. I found her in the closet where I had kept her, and I said, I'm going to put her out again. Here she is. I have her here next to the photos of my parents who have passed away and who are the most important thing to me after my daughters. I told her, my window exploded here. Debris entered. I suffered the moment. But this Virgin stayed here without moving, without falling. And for me, that means something. You have to believe in that, that God exists, that He accompanies us, that He saved us.
Que Dios existe, que nos acompaña, que nos salvó.
A large hole had opened in the wall of Ana Maria's room, a few meters from where she was sleeping. The shock and nervousness of the moment were eased thanks to her mother's words of faith, which moved her.
Entonces mi mamá me dice, mira, Ana María.
So my mother says to me, look, Ana Maria, I had this Virgin put away, and I took her out. You should have seen how that Virgin ended up. She was intact. She didn't even fall. Everything else had fallen, but the Virgin remained standing. She was holding her in her hand and placed her next to where she had been before. And she said to me, don't you believe in God? Don't you have faith? That truth moved me, that for a moment I had left everything to humanity and had forgotten about God for a few seconds, in the sense that I let myself be overwhelmed and distressed.
Impresionar y angustiar.
Gracia, her daughter, and all their neighbors are proof of the Venezuelans' unshakable faith, even in the most adverse conditions, which have been especially abundant in the last 25 years, but which, after all and so much, hasn't been broken.
This is important for me. It is vital because I have faith, and faith accompanies me all the time. That's why I tell her that you always have to believe, not eventually. God is with us always, at all times and in all circumstances.
Anyone who wishes can also donate construction materials for Gracias Monaco's house and that of the other neighbors. In Caracas, Venezuela, Andres Enriquez, EWTN.
Joining us now is retired Rear Admiral Peter Brown, Senior Fellow for Western Hemisphere and Maritime Affairs at the American First Policy Institute. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Veronica. It's a pleasure to speak with you and your audience.
From your experience overseeing Coast Guard and interagency operations in the Caribbean, how complex was the extraction mission inside Venezuela, given the terrain, intelligence challenges, and presence of hostile actors?
Well, it's absolutely amazing and only achievable by the U.S. military. Only the U.S. military has the capability, the training, and the doctrine to pull off an operation like this so flawlessly and successfully. And it certainly appeared to be a lightning strike in Caracas to get Maduro out and bring him to justice in the U.S. And it's actually the culmination of a year-long strategy that continues, that President Trump and his administration established really on day one when they took office January 20th of last year. And the tactics that we saw executed January 3rd are in service of that strategy of protecting the American people, homeland, and way of life.
Now, of course, a lot is being made about the legality of it. Do you have any thoughts when it comes to that particular topic?
Absolutely. So the U.S., at its founding, in its wisdom, established that we might need to criminalize activity outside the United States that was designed to harm the United States. And certainly international drug trafficking, money laundering, the corruption, the weapons, the violence that goes with it, it was all designed to influence, target, and harm the United States, addicting our people to cocaine, fentanyl, and other drugs. And so the military operation was done in service of bringing an indicted fugitive from the United States into the United States for trial.
What message does the U.S. military mission in Venezuela send to Russia, China, and Iran?
Well, President Trump outlined the Donroe Doctrine, right? A logical progression to the Monroe Doctrine, the Roosevelt Corollary, and that is that extra-hemispheric actors have no business militarily, commercially, or really profiteering from the resources, assets, and minerals of our hemisphere. And so this illicit trade in oil between Venezuela, China, Cuba, Russia, Iran, and some of the other things that have been going on, including the importation of precursor chemicals from China to Mexico, that is all coming to an end, and the U.S. is going to push back hard.
Rear Admiral Peter Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you, Veronica.
Top Senate and House lawmakers comprising of the Gang of Eight attended a briefing Monday night about the capture of Nicolas Maduro. While Republicans left supporting the president's actions, Democrats say they now have more questions than answers.
When the United States engages in this kind of regime change and so-called nation building, it always ends up hurting the United States. I left the briefing feeling that it would again.
The U.S. military operation in Venezuela was a decisive and justified action. Nicolas Maduro is responsible for the deaths of untold thousands of Americans after years of trafficking illegal drugs and violent cartel members into our country.
The speaker went on to praise the military personnel who executed the successful operation with speed, precision, and power. The briefing was carried out by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, and other top officials. As the capture of Nicolas Maduro is examined and the leadership of Venezuela is debated, talk of another country's future is entering the discussion.
For the United States to secure the Arctic region, to protect and defend NATO and NATO interests, obviously Greenland should be part of the United States. And so that's a conversation that we're going to have as a country. That's a process we're going to have as a community of nations.
Joining me now is Mary Ellen O'Connell, an international law professor at Notre Dame University. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So this week, President Trump again discussed the importance of Greenland to the U.S. from a national security standpoint, but he didn't explain how this would be accomplished. What actions do you think the administration might take, if any?
Well, I worry they might take actions similar to what they did in Venezuela. And that, of course, was a serious violation of international law. They used military force to remove the sitting head of government and to leave a vacuum that was filled by the vice president. Taking such military action against Greenland would be a very serious violation and probably would require more than simply taking the leader of Greenland out of the country, because the country of Denmark has sovereignty over Greenland. That's a NATO member. And they would probably do what they could to reinstate whoever was removed and ensure that no U.S. troops or other forces could come to Greenland. So it's a very serious statement that the president has made. It's very worrying for all of our allies, but it should be very worrying to the American people. What happened in Venezuela violated peremptory norms, the most serious principles of international law we have. We could make that worse with regard to Greenland, Cuba, Panama, other places President Trump has mentioned.
So the limited strike is, of course, being debated, and a lot we'll probably see come out through different court systems. What impact do you think this could have on NATO?
Well, it's having already very serious consequences. Members of NATO, I've even seen commentary, and I understand why it's being said, it will be the end of NATO if the United States violates Denmark's sovereignty over Greenland. The alliance exists to defend the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of the member states. So if one of those members, especially the leader, violates those fundamental rights, then why have the alliance at all? And that's what's being discussed right now. The hope is that the members of the alliance will encourage President Trump to respect international law, respect international boundaries, the sovereign rights of states, members of the United Nations, human rights in general, and that he will never again take an action as he did in Venezuela in such grave violation of international law.
Now, Greenland's new foreign security and defense strategy for 2024 through 2033, titled Greenland in the World nothing about us without us. It's a way for Greenland to be more independent, shifting away from Denmark. Greenland wants to pursue greater independence. Could the Trump administration offer Greenland a deal that helps them achieve their goals?
They don't need a deal with the United States to help them achieve their goal. If it is to have complete sovereignty on their own, independence from Denmark, there's already a law from 2009 in which Denmark and the people of Greenland have agreed that they can move for out of autonomy, which they have now, domestic autonomy, to full sovereign independence with no ties to Greenland or to Denmark at all. That's already fully part of the law between these two jurisdictional entities, and I have no doubt that Denmark will fulfill its whatever the people of Greenland request. So there's no need for any help from the United States for this path to continue. The people of Greenland have full confidence that if they decide for full independence, Denmark will grant that. It's already, Denmark is a country that's really committed to the rule of law. It's not going to violate a commitment that it made to the people of Greenland. That's clear to me.
Mary Ellen O'Connor, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the questions.
While the capture of Nicolas Maduro remains a hot-button topic, lawmakers also face a stack of high-profile issues to kick off this election year that will likely influence voters in November. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us with more on the challenges facing lawmakers. Eric.
Well, good evening, Veronica. Right now, the biggest challenge for lawmakers is time. Current government funding ends January 30th. Also, the House and Senate are working on bills limiting President Trump's ability to use military force without congressional approval. And that's not all. Obamacare health subsidies need to be addressed. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy tells me President Trump is using Venezuela to distract from other pressing issues on Congress's plate.
It's also an effort to distract folks from the Epstein files, from the economy. It's a nightmare for a lot of families. This is a tried and true tactic.
Expired Obamacare subsidies remain a key issue. Democratic Senator Jeanne Shaheen is heading up bipartisan efforts to find a solution.
I'm hopeful that we can get some agreement that will provide relief for the millions of people who are going to lose their health insurance if we don't act.
This week, the House will vote on the discharge petition to extend the Obamacare subsidies for 3 years. It's expected to pass with Republican support, but could end up in the Senate graveyard.
There is no reason why this legislation, upon successfully being voted out of the House, shouldn't be taken up immediately by the Senate and passed. The only obstacle is John Thune and Senate Republicans.
The influential House Freedom Caucus sent House Speaker Mike Johnson a letter outlining policies they want to see accomplished in 2026. Pass fiscally responsible appropriation bills, codify President Trump's border security actions, reform health care by investing in health savings accounts, and pass pro-life legislation to close loopholes in Obamacare, allowing taxpayer dollars for abortions. Democratic Senator Peter Welch says pro-life policies are a big hang-up.
The status quo is what we have to keep. This should not be turned into a debate about the Hyde Amendment. It should be about making certain that folks have health care.
So could we see another government shutdown?
Lord, I hope not, but anything's possible because we can't go at it alone. In the House, they can. In the Senate, it's going to take 60 votes, which requires bipartisan support, unfortunately.
So again, the clock is ticking to get the government funding bills passed before the January 30th deadline. We also have some sad news to share with you. Lawmakers are mourning the loss of California Republican Congressman Doug LaMalfa. He passed away this morning at the age of 65. The cause is not yet clear, but our prayers go out to his family. At least for now, that leaves House Republicans with a slimmer majority, only 218 Republicans to 213 Democrats in the House, meaning that the GOP can only lose about two defections on any party line vote, assuming that all members are present. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly. Closing the door, why this symbolic end to the holy year makes the Jubilee historic, and an infamous anniversary, how it is being marked 5 years later. Welcome Welcome back. Ukraine's allies have agreed to provide Kyiv with multi-layered security guarantees as part of a proposal to end Russia's nearly four-year-long invasion. At a high-level meeting in Paris, leaders from Europe and Canada, along with U.S. representatives, pledged equipment and training for Ukraine's front lines, forces backed by air, land, and sea support to deter future Russian attacks. The size of the supporting forces was not made public, and elements of the plan remain unclear. President Volodymyr Zelensky says the commitments will still need ratification. Allies say they will monitor any ceasefire and support Ukraine's defense long term. U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff says Washington strongly stands behind the guarantees. Today marks 5 years since the deadly January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. In 2021, pro-Trump protesters entered the Capitol demanding the result of the 2020 election be overturned. Parts of the building were destroyed. More than 1,000 people were charged by the Justice Department in connection with the incident. However, they were later pardoned by President Trump when he took office again in 2025. Earlier today, a march was held in Washington, D.C. to remember the people who lost their lives in the attack. January 6th defendants and their supporters held signs and waved American flags as they walked the same path to the U.S. Capitol. Abortion will remain legal in Wyoming. In a ruling today, the state Supreme Court struck down laws, including one that explicitly banned abortion pills. It was the first such law in the United States. The justices sided with the state's only abortion clinic and others who sued over the laws passed since 2022. Today, Pope Leo and the rest of Italy celebrated the solemnity of the Epiphany and the close of the historic Jubilee year by shutting the holy door of St. Peter's Basilica. EWTN News Vatican correspondent Valentina Di Donato has more.
With grateful hearts, we attempt to close this holy door, crowded by a multitude of faithful, certain that the Good Shepherd always keeps the door of his heart open to welcome us whenever we feel tired and oppressed.
A solemn moment to end the Jubilee Year of Hope. Today, Pope Leo XIV carried out the rite of closing the holy door in the Basilica. It symbolizes the formal conclusion of the holy year, a year that will be remembered as historic. For the first time in 325 years, two popes presided over one jubilee. Pope Francis opened the holy doors on December 24, 2024, but it ended today with Pope Leo. The hymn, Come All Ye Faithful, played before the Holy Father presided over Holy Mass in St. Peter's Basilica for some 5,800 faithful for the solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord.
La porta santa di questa basilica.
The holy door of this basilica, which today is the last to be closed, has seen a stream of innumerable men and women, pilgrims of hope, journeying toward the New Jerusalem, the city whose doors are always open. Who were these men and women, and what motivated them? At the end of this Jubilee year, the spiritual searching of our contemporaries, much richer than perhaps we can comprehend, invites us to earnest reflection.
Molto più ricca di quanto forse possiamo comprendere.
Then the Holy Father spoke during the Angelus of the Epiphany to the faithful as the weavers of hope, emphasizing that the solemnity of the Epiphany, already in its name, suggests what makes joy possible, even amidst the current difficult times.
In the place of inequality, may there be fairness, and may the industry of war be replaced by the craft of peace. As weavers of hope, let us journey together towards the future by another road.
In Rome, Valentina Di Donato for EWTN News Nightly.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, Polar Plunge. Why plunging into icy waters is a tradition for Turkish Christians. The solemnity of the Epiphany was also celebrated today as Christians partook in a unique tradition. Ah! Worshippers mark the feast by diving into the chilly waters of the city's historic Golden Horn. It's done to commemorate the baptism of Jesus Christ in the River Jordan. During the ceremony, a priest blesses the waters and throws a wooden cross into the waterway. According to tradition, the person who retrieves the cross will be freed from evil spirits and remain healthy throughout the year. This year, it was a Greek swimmer, Vosilis Konstantinidis, who retrieved the wooden crucifix. He promised he will be back in 2027. The Epiphany is also celebrated in some Western Christian churches as Three Kings Day, which marks the visit of the three wise men to the baby Jesus and closes out the Christmas season. We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Veronica Dudo. Good night and God bless.